Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. I know we plan and we set our goals, and yet we have no control over any of that. We live and move and have our being as God directs our steps. That's why in everything we do, it's good to labor. It is. And we enjoy our meat and our drink, but we don't determine what those things will be. It's God that determines it. And that's why we're instructed there that if we say today or tomorrow we're going to go do business in this place or that, don't forget, if God will. And that's not just a slogan. If God will, he's the director. For tomorrow shall take thought of for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. This is a fallacy even to think that in this fallen world, we're going to be able to find some sort of utopia where there is no evil. Nothing goes wrong. How many times you thought, I wish I could have one day where there wasn't something to fix. Well, guess what? That's part of living in this fallen world. But even in that complaint, we're forgetting that all things are of God. So contentment, that's really what we're seeing here in this instruction in verse 18, coming back to my text. Secondly, as I've been talking about already, what matters most? Contentment with such things as we have, but number two, seeing that all that we have, it's not that it's just under God's control. I don't know about you, but I get so tired of people saying that. Well, God's in control. No, he isn't. He's directing. He's ordaining. You stubbed your toe, God ordained it. You fell on your face, God ordained it. That's a reminder that even our being able to be upright is a blessing. We could all be flat on our face, unable even to get out of bed. Even that God ordains. But people sit there and think, well, what am I doing wrong? What do I need to do better? That God will hear me. God orders all things. So that's the second thing, what matters most, to see that all that we have is what? The gift of God. Not just the good things that we think, oh, well, finally there. All things. Nebuchadnezzar in his fury casts Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fiery furnace, and how the Lord preserved them. So, verse 19, it says, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. What was his fury? The fact that these would not bow, in spite of the threats, that image that he had set up, such as the faith that the Lord gives his own, that they cannot compromise, even for a second. That if it's not Christ, they don't bow the knee. And it says, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The implication there is that up here he was trying to reason with them and do it in somewhat of a kind way, supposedly. But suddenly, as they declared their trust in God, that God would deliver them, and they would not worship any other god, even if through the fire, the furnace. Verse 17 is a strong statement we saw last time. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace and will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, in other words, if this was to be the way God had determined that they should die, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up.